What you see is a process outlined here as to how things unfold. And that pattern is exhibited over our two-week cycle, the things that go on here. And so initially what you have is this building of memory knowledges. So, you know, as we engage with the word, so there's a buildup of memory knowledges. And also we have these principles such as removing person, place, time and space. The Lord is the word. So we have these higher level principles that need to become established in our life as a mode of thinking. You know, so to think from the word is really what this whole process is leading to. And those first principles, or those higher principles represented by Moses here, are not yet established as they will eventually be. So there's this process whereby we get these memory knowledges, and there's a movement of these principles to become connected with those memory knowledges, and that produces light by which what is not serviceable to the spiritual life is seen. And that is Moses seeing the Egyptian assaulting the Hebrew. So that is a distinction that's able to be made through trying to work with these principles in our lives. We become more discerning as to the nature and quality of things arising within us. And initially, it's what's obviously false. Obviously, once the light starts to shine, not beforehand. And that recognition that something is of the proprium, out of the hells, evil and false, whatever term you want to use, the recognition that that is what that is to bury it in the sand. It is slain in the recognition of its quality. That's what that slaying means there. And then there is the removal of that level of falsity increases the light. And now there's a discernment between truths that are not in agreement. Okay, so, you know, what's that about? That's about there are truths which are genuine and support the spiritual life. And then there are those truths, if you like, that we have held on to, but we're beginning to realize they are appearances of truth. They're not actually genuine truths that can serve the spiritual life. So we begin to see these things, but the old patterns and the old ways of thinking are still too strong. So they resist Moses, those higher kind of aspects, those more interior truths, they are resisted. And with all major change, doesn't matter where it is, significant change, when it takes place, there is anxiety and fear that we're going to lose something. And you cannot come to trust the Lord without being vulnerable, because it's the vulnerability puts us in a position where we're willing to trust. And that's not an easy place to sit, but it's a necessary place, because it's sitting in that place that those higher things become more established and they become strengthened, because we are relying on the Lord for those things and we are looking to those truths to try and counter what is not able to support the spiritual life. And so you see this unfolding of this process in the story of Moses, which is the unfolding of the text in our life. And you can see the pattern either over 2 weeks, over your life, wherever you go in, and whatever way you frame your experience of the word in your life, you'll see the same patterns operating. And it's all about establishing first principles as the basis for our life, so that we can think from the word, or from what the word says is true, as opposed from the appearances of the senses. And that's our struggle. You know, it's a struggle to be extracted from those appearances, which are very strong at this level of life. But they have to be like that, because we have to engage our will to engage the word, right? And that's what establishes truths in us, which then becomes the basis for a new will or new affections, and from that can be generated new ways of thinking. This idea of the conflict between the Egyptian and the Hebrew, and between a Hebrew and a Hebrew, We can see that when we start reflecting on some of those first principles that are drawn out through the logopraxis process. You know, we might be in a belief that just by being physically born into the church or a new church organization somehow carries some weight so far as our regeneration is concerned. And there's a discovery when we start to practice the word that that is actually not the case, that everybody has to be in the life of self-examination and repentance, whether they are part of a new church organization or not. There's the idea that the moral life, there's a period where the moral life is seen to be the spiritual life, when in fact these are distinct things and there needs to be a discrimination made between these levels. The idea that we might be in that the Lord is looking to save me, and by me I mean that sense of self that has been drawn from the loves of self in the world, whereas in fact what the Lord is seeking to do is to save us from that. And that can be quite a disconcerting realization when we come to see that that's the case. That we place our confidence, or have in the past placed our confidence, in a historical faith rather than a living faith. That we place our confidence in the fact that we have the teachings of the church, you know, that we have these books on the shelf, or we have these things that are basically just sitting with us on an intellectual or memory knowledge level and haven't been processed. We come to realize that these things have to be taken further, and there's a struggle to find out how to do that. Again, the idea that a civil and moral life is a life that saves, that kind of belief is often seen in the fact that there's comparison with others involved, or a sense of self-righteousness involved in that. That indicates that it's the civil and moral life that has dominance over what's understood to be a spiritual life, and that needs to be reversed. That charity is solely seen in terms of how I treat others, rather than the first of charity being to shun evils as sins against the Lord. This is a reversal as well that needs to take place. So all these things have to do with potential conflicts in terms of our understanding of things as higher things and lower things are brought together. The idea that heaven and hell are places that we go to after we die, as opposed to states that are present in the here and now. That the world of spirits also is not a place off that we go to at some future point, but is actually the activity of the thoughts and affections within our minds. The idea that what we call our self is really an appearance. It is an appearance that we have a self, that the Lord alone has a self. Then there's the belief that the Lord is sometimes absent, whereas we know that he is always fully present, and that absence and separation from the Lord is the result of our own states. Speaking about states, the idea that the things outside of ourselves are the cause of our interior states, that people or situations and circumstances cause our state. So what we know is that it's interior things are causal and exterior things are their effects. And so this has to be turned around, where we don't attribute cause to what is outside of ourselves, but look to work with what is interior. And then there's the core teaching of logopraxis and the implications as they filter down into our awareness, built around this idea that the word is actually the Lord, not something from the Lord, but the Lord himself present with us. So these are the kinds of things that we often see in this work and can be understood in the light of what we've just been working with here so far as Moses and his interactions with the Egyptians and the Hebrews, so far as the conflicts that are manifesting there are concerned.